Coming to you from Los Angeles, California, this is Cheat Day Podcast. Hi, welcome to another episode of Cheat Day Podcast. This is Frankie. My gender pronouns are he, him, and his. I am sitting across from the always entertaining
Kristen in the house. Gender pronouns, she, her, and hers. All right, guys, we're back again with a guest. I'm going to tell you a little bit about our guest today. Her name is Kelsey Rose Weber, and she is a model, a body advocate, a business owner, and an overall boss babe. She has been featured in many publications such as Birdie and Scorch magazine and on an episode of E's Revenge Body with Khloe Kardashian. When speaking about negativity and trolls, Kelsey said, "Best advice my mom gave me is if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all." I want to further this by saying that if you don't have anything nice to say, don't just not say anything, but also try and see why the negativity is happening. We, especially as women, need to raise each other up and not tear each other down.
Yes.
All right, y'all. Please help us welcome Kelsey Rose.
Kelsey.
Yes.
You are busy.
Busy lady.
Right?
Understatement of the century.
Okay.
I think people think I have a social life. I have no social life.
No social life.
But I like that. You know, I like being busy. I like furthering my dreams and chasing the dreams. And I hope everyone else does that too.
Yeah, yes. You're working super hard now to then benefit your future self.
Oh man, my other half can definitely attest to that. We're like ships crossing in the night.
I love it.
Yeah, so you just came back from New York Fashion Week.
I did.
Which we can talk about in a minute. But I guess like with every guest, let's go back to sort of the beginning, right? So you grew up in Tokyo, is that correct?
I did.
Like part of your life?
It's kind of a weird, fun, random fact about me. So I grew up in Tokyo until I was 8.
Wow.
I am not a military brat because that's always the follow-up question.
Right. Always.
My dad worked for Mattel and my mom had a production company. So they were there for 25 years and I was living in the Barbies. So, and Hot Wheels.
Jealous.
All into it.
Can you imagine? So your dad worked for, that is like every child's dream.
Dream.
So you had every single toy ever, even before it came out.
I'm really upset that Polly Pockets are no longer a thing.
Okay. Oh, I loved Polly Pockets.
I think I've like definitely left my mark on many planes playing with Polly Pockets. Like there's probably Polly Pockets from Kelsey Rose and like the seats of many, many airlines still. But I mean, it was, my parents were there for 25 years. My sister was there for 14. And then we came back when my sister was going into high school because my parents kind of wanted to quote unquote Americanize us because we were like giant weirdos. Like, but I'm so grateful for it because growing up, I went to an international school and so everyone was so different. And I really embraced that. Like, I probably was like one of like five Americans, you know, at my school. And so my parents always ran the American booth at the food fair and stuff. But I loved it. And I hate to say I have not been back for probably about 10 years, but like they bulldozed our house. Now it's high rises. So that's not just happening in Los Angeles, guys.
All over the
everywhere
place.
In the world. Right. So what happened after Tokyo? You came to California?
Yeah. So we came to LA. Both my parents are from San Bernardino. So, you know, Southern California. And so we came back. My parents threw me and my sister into school, and the transition was really difficult because, like, we had grown up in such a different culture. And so I remember, like, the biggest difference that I noticed when I came back was in Japanese culture, when you meet strangers, you treat them with, like, the utmost respect. You're like, I don't know you, so I respect you. You know what I mean? It's, like, this weird difference in American culture, because like here when you meet a stranger you're like, I don't know who you are.
Exactly.
Like, I don't, who are you?
Yeah,
you know? So I was like very polite. I was always saying sir and ma'am, and I had to like change that because people were like, you're weird. But I also will say, you never want to go get sushi with me because I'm a brat when it comes to like good sushi in Los Angeles. So happy to throw some wrecks out. But I mean, it was a transition for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then high school, you were an athlete, correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in high school, I went to an arts high school. I went to this school called Wildwood. It's in LA. It's a really small private high school. My elementary school is very traditional. We had like uniforms and I wasn't into it. So when I applied for high school, I looked at a lot of art schools because I was always very creative. I love to be creative. I'm not a drawer. Like I cannot draw to save my life, but just like creative thinking. So I went to Wildwood, which is very arts heavy, and it's very non-traditional. Like you call your teachers by your first name, and like they're very into like what kind of learner are you, and like knowing your learning style and talking about it. And we didn't get grades; we were graded on like a totally different system, which I appreciated because like those skills have totally translated into me now with my company and like the way that I kind of walk through things with my assistants and stuff. So. But ironically, I became an athlete there, and I played volleyball and I was doing club volleyball. So, oh my God, literally after school, I'd have practice for my school team and then I'd go to 3 hours of volleyball for my club team. Mm. So I was like living and breathing short spandex shorts. Like that was like my thing. And then on the weekends it was tournaments and like, bless my parents' hearts. Cause they have driven to hell and back literally to take me to these tournaments. And then once I got my license, they were like, bye.
Good luck with that.
Drive yourself. but I loved it. I love being a part of a team. I'm still really good friends with a lot of my volleyball mates. And then I actually ended up getting recruited for college. And I looked at D1 schools. I looked at D3 schools, but like, I don't know. For me, I wanted to go to college and really figure out who the fuck I was. Can I cuss?
Okay? Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, cool. So I wanted to figure out like who I was. And when I got to college, I ended up going to Claremont McKenna, which is out in Claremont, which is like about an hour outside of LA. It's actually my dad's alma mater, which he's like very proud about. Mm-hmm. And I hated the girls on the team. Like, I don't know. It just like so wasn't my jam. And I was like, I'm not gonna like spend 6 hours a day hanging out with girls who are just like really catty. I hate that kind of cattiness on sports teams. Absolutely. I was always I'm a triple cancer. I'm very into like love and nurturing and like not bitchiness. Yeah. So I ended up quitting. And that's actually when I gained my weight.
Okay.
Because I went from training, you know, a shit ton of hours a day to being like, oh, I'm going to like party in college. I'm going to like chill and order Domino's at 2 a.m.
Absolutely.
And do like the typical college thing. So, right. I became a little bit of a party animal, you could say.
Okay. So growing up, you had all this like structured and everything that you needed to do. And then you had like a little bit of freedom and you just went, I can relate. Yeah.
Oh, I went wild.
Yeah.
My parents were like, oh my Lord. Like, but I loved it. You know, I really figured out like, I didn't date in college. I wanted to like really focus on me. I like didn't pick a major until like my junior year, which like totally drove my parents nuts. I ended up studying religion and film. Really a normal duo of a major.
Oh yeah.
Yay, liberal arts.
Yeah. Right.
But I loved it. I growing up in Tokyo, we weren't very religious. Like we went to church, but church is more of like a social thing. And like a lot of the Japanese families brought their kids to church to learn English. So I was really fascinated by religion. And we drank a lot of wine and had a lot of charcuterie plates. So I was like really into the religious
studies. Ooh, I love a good charcuterie plate. OMG.
And a nice glass of wine.
Yes. Coffee in the morning, both hands, HGTV. Okay.
All the comfies.
Yes.
And then I was like, I'll do some work too at the same time.
Right?
So,
some work, some play.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So growing up, was modeling like a thing that you maybe thought about, or when did the modeling come into play?
So I like very distinctively remember in high school, like I was small. I was like a 6'8". I'm 5'10". So that was like, I was very slow, but I was athletic. You know, I was like, talk about having like calves of steel, you know, cause I was jumping and playing volleyball all the time. I remember this girl, Courtney, being like, you should totally model. But like at that time, curve modeling wasn't a thing. And so I was like, oh, I'm a 6'8". Like, girl, you're crazy. Like, that's not a thing. But I was like, thank you. You're just me. And so it was never really like, I want to grow up and do this, you know? When I was in college, it's actually funny, like the first kind of step I took into curve modeling, because it was completely by accident. I was driving back and forth from LA because I was dating someone who was not the love of my life. Let me just put that out there. Since love of my life is sitting on the floor in the studio. Okay. But I was driving back and forth, and this girl who I had been, like, she was living in my dorm, was like, hey, I need to get to LA. She didn't have a car. And I was like, oh, I'll totally take you. Like, where is it? You know, she's like, I'll pay you $20. I was like, whatever. Like, let's just go. And by this time, I had already gained probably about, like, talk about freshman 15. It was more like freshman 30. Okay. So I went from a 6'8 to about a 12, 14. But I, like, it took me a while to kind of get used to my curves. But then I was like, oh, I like this. Like, I have a booty. Like, I felt like a woman, you know? And my journey to self-love, you know, took years in college because I went to a school where everyone's in bikinis all the time because it's in Southern California. And so it took me a while to kind of get to that place, but then I got there and I felt really, really good. So anyway, so we go to this, I drive her to this studio in LA, and I like, am so like, not, and I'm like, well, I don't care what you're doing. But she's like, could you just wait in the lobby? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I'm like candy crushing it on my phone, like chilling in the lobby. And this guy comes out, and she was curvy. Like, she was a really beautiful, curvy woman of color. Like, she was, like, sexy. I will say that. If she's listening, shout out. she knows who she is. But I am sitting there, and he's like, so are you going to walk? And I was like, oh, like, away? Like, away? Like,
where do you want me to walk to? You want a coffee? I'll get you a coffee.
I was like, I'm in the way. Yeah. And he's like, no, we're casting. And I was like, for what? Like, because I grew up in LA, so everyone's casting for something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, like, we're casting for a runway show. And in the back of my mind, I just started hysterically laughing. So I was like, I can't do a runway walk. Like, that's not a thing. And so he was like, yeah, we're casting for, an apple bottom jean runway show. And I was like, yes, like
I have one,
I have a button out. It's not very large, but it will fit your jeans. So I was like, sure. And so like, I totally get in this room. I'm like in platforms. I'm not even like in heels. I look kind of like so out of place. And I just did my best runway walk, which I wish I had video of because it was probably really embarrassing. And I got a call. They're like, thank you, whatever. So I leave. I was like, that was weird. I get a call the next day. They're like, hey, we would love to have you walk. And I was like, oh. So I called the girl that like I had driven, and she had not booked it. And so she was so pissed.
Like, I shouldn't have brought her.
So pissed.
Oh my God.
So I ended up walking in this apple bottom jean, like with Nelly in the, like, it was like this small presentation. I had like no idea what was going on. I just showed up where they told me to, did my best runway walk in some jeans. And that kind of was like the start into modeling. I was like, oh, this is a thing that's happening.
Okay.
So yeah.
That's amazing.
I love it.
Fast forward to, you just went to New York Fashion Week, yes! Like you mentioned earlier. And you, I, the one that I remember the most, and you'll tell us what else you did, but the Bella Renee, which was in the middle of Times Square. Yeah. It was raining, but that's like one of those moments where you like question, like, what am I doing? Like, what is this? What is my life? Totally. You know, because it's so amazing. What was that like?
It was crazy. So I went to New York Fashion Week 3 years ago, and I was signed with IPM at the time, which was an agency I'd been with for 3 years. And they told, like, the director took a chance on me, and, you know, that was kind of like the first time I really stepped into curve modeling. And the thing was to do was to go to New York Fashion Week. So I went, didn't book anything that time around, but had like a blast with the girls, and it was kind of the first like introduction to the nuttiness of New York Fashion Week. So the following year I had my accident, so I couldn't walk, so I'm gonna go to New York Fashion Week. And then the following year, my episode hadn't aired, so E! Network was like, we were kind of on lockdown. Like, we couldn't really like photograph ourselves, let alone like walk in a runway show, because like my body was like literally under wraps. So this was the first year I could go. So I was like, I'm going to go. And I remember talking to my boyfriend, Russell, and I was like, I don't know. Like, this is crazy. Like, I feel so out of it. I'm so not like connected on the ground in New York. And it was a huge chance for me to go. But one of my really good friends, Jihan, who's also a curve model, was like, I'm going. Like, so I was like, yes, I'll have a New York wife. This will be great. We'll go to castings together. And we had a blast. Like, when I landed, it was like casting after casting after casting after casting. And now, like, there's so many more curve models at these castings. So you see so much more diversity, and not just in size, it's like across the board. It was a really beautiful thing. I remember being at the Chromat casting, and I was just like, this is the sexiest line of models I have like ever seen. Like, just completely just women and men of all shapes and sizes and gender. Like, it was beautiful. I didn't book that, but two of my best friends did, and they killed it. Shout out to Jasmine and Veronica.
Yeah.
But I had seen a post for Bella Renee's casting. And so I RSVP'd to it. And I kind of went being like, I want to walk this show. Like, she's the first plus size designer to show in the shows that's like full clothing. Because Additionnel showed, but they're like sexy lingerie, you know? So, and I looked at her stuff, and she has an amazing story. The owner, you know, she has had a weight loss journey and a lot of other stuff. But I just manifested it. I was like, I want to walk this show. So I went into that casting. I remember right before I walked in, I was like, Jihan, I'm manifesting right fucking now. Like, this is going to be my fucking moment.
Yes.
Like, so we go in and I booked it, and she told us right then and there. And it was crazy. I mean, there was like a ton of girls in that room, but I was like, fierce face, fierce, like, just be fierce. Like, you know? And so after that happened, I was just like, this trip was worth it. Like, I'm so happy I took the chance. And then, yeah, first off, her clothing is phenomenal. Talk about the best fabrics and amazing fit, like, and like nice, really amazing fabric. The outfit I wore was all Italian hand-dyed silk.
Wow.
And I'm not going to lie, every raindrop that fell on that suit killed my soul a little bit. I was like, no. But yeah, we walked in the middle of Times Square, and a lot of people were like, you're crazy. Like, this is insane for you to do. And kind of a behind the scenes moment. We're like waiting, and we're lined up because we were walking right by the stairs. They had shut the stairs down because they're basically glass, like so slippery when it's raining. It was raining. Mm. I'm not talking like a nice cinematic drizzle, like
pouring.
It was raining.
Okay.
And my hair was slicked back and had gel in it. So I was like, nobody will know. so this protest comes out and starts happening on the stairs, and, kudos to everybody because we all kind of kept our cool. But in the back of our minds, we're like, what the fuck? Like, I'm all about like the conversation about gun violence, but not right now. Like,
right.
And I think a big part of it is that, and I kind of articulated this to one of the women who was a part of the protest who came up to us afterwards. And I was like, listen, totally all about your cause. Unfortunately, by you guys doing this, you kind of took the voice away from a cause that's really big for Fashion Week right now. Like, the Bella Renee show was a huge step. And if we want to change the world, all the voices need to be heard.
Right.
And so listen, I'm like not hating on the gun violence protests, but I think it could have been done maybe an hour earlier.
Right.
Or later. No matter.
Or later.
Right. Yeah.
But like, because she had booked out Times Square for an hour. We had an hour to do the show. And so it was just a little crazy. It was crazy. But then we did it. It was badass. Yeah. I live in gratitude for that moment. Like, yeah. And I live in gratitude for that power suit that I wore.
I've seen so many posts of that show. And you laying on the couch. Is that the suit that you
were? Yeah.
Amazing.
That couch was straight up in the lobby of the hotel where we got ready. I like gorgeous. Walked in and I was like, oof. Burgundy tufted couch. Yes, please.
Thank you.
Because when we got back, I was just like, I need to take as many photos in this outfit as possible because it was so badass. I've never worn pants on a runway for some reason. I don't know why. Like, I'm always in a dress of sorts. So I was like super excited to like rock some pants. So silly, but like fucking pants.
Just something about a good pair of pants.
Good pair of pants. And they fit well.
Yeah.
Ugh. I could live in that suit straight up.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was an amazing time, and I'm glad people recognize the, you know, the steps that that show is taking for inclusivity at New York Fashion Week.
On the topic of trolls.
Yeah. Oof.
How do you deal with them? I know we had our quote in the beginning, but how do you deal with trolls?
So it's funny because I didn't really have any trolls until the show. Right. And I know that I put myself out on a very public and large platform, national TV, on a reality show. Mm-hmm. So I expected negativity to come, right? I think hardest part was there's like two kind of branches of trolls. There's the trolls that are just like people who hide behind the computer, who just want to say I'm fat and gross and unhealthy and blah, blah, blah. Half the time, those people aren't grammatically correct in their comments, so I just can't take it seriously.
Right.
The other half was I got trolled by the plus size community after the show, and I think that that was one of the most difficult responses because I had found this home in the curve community and then decided to do something positive for my body, and then all of a sudden was kind of shunned out. And I think a lot of women in that space who either gain weight or lose weight, I had a lot of conversations at CurvyCon at New York Fashion or in New York with women who had bypass surgery or who had gotten the lap band and have felt like their brand as a blogger or their brand as a curvy woman was kind of taken away from them. And so I could totally relate because I knew going on the show, like it's called Revenge Body. And to everyone listening, I get it. The name fucking sucks. Yeah. Okay. I get it. I will not fight you on that 100%. But we all know that like some dude behind a desk at E came up with that name. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's reality TV. But, yeah. You know, when the episode aired, I got a lot of love from like the people who knew me personally. And they were like, yeah, that's totally you. Like on the show, like you weren't trying to act. You weren't like not you. But then this like whole other side of people just kind of came at me being like, what the fuck, you know? And it was a big step for me to kind of ex-nay that out of my space. I was like, I'm going to focus on the positives. I got like a lot of amazing DMs from women and men who had kind of gone through, whether it was a health scare or a car accident or something, that they were like, oh my God, thank you so much. So I chose to focus on that. And I responded to every DM that I got, you know, and to this day, anytime someone DMs me, like I will answer you. Because I wanted to connect with people who understood it rather than try and give the power, let people who had negativity flowing through them have the power over me to take that moment away from me. It was hard. There was definitely moments where, you know, I felt a lack of support because for me, trolls that just come and they're like, you're fat. I'm like, okay. Be creative.
Okay.
You know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like PHAT, you mean? Like, right. I don't know.
Is that the kind of fat we're talking about?
Because I feel bad.
Okay.
No. But, you know, those people, I ignore it. Like, they're just so, it's just like room noise. You know what I mean? You're just like, okay, come on. And I usually block them. I'm like, goodbye. If you are just going to come with hate, you're not going to be allowed into this profile. But for the people that, you know, kind of came at me who I felt like were friends or people who like were in this community that was all about quote unquote, including everyone. It to this day takes me a little bit of time because it's not a fun feeling, you know?
Yeah.
And I think everybody who's experienced trolls, it's okay to be vulnerable and feel shitty about it because it sucks when someone's just like, you suck, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't think your journey has any value. And I'm just like, and I say this to a lot of people who ask me how I deal with trolls. I'm like, to everybody who wants to talk shit about my journey or my body, go get run over by a Chevy Silverado and then let's fucking chat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, I really wanted to ask that same question that you answered about the show because I haven't been exposed to the body positivity movement for very long, right? We started this show. I think Kristen is further along in her journey of embracing her body. I'm not there totally yet, But I, you know, we've been going to events and things, and we see things online. And I did recognize that we're still, even within that community, still trying, divided and trying to control.
Totally.
And tell people what to do with their bodies.
Yep.
I just, people need to stop.
Stop. Yeah.
Yeah. Stop. You know what I mean? Like, it's like.
It's so ironic, you know? Like,
exactly.
We're all about body positivity, but then when I choose to do something positive for my body, it gets shit on.
Yeah. It's like, it's, you have to be on our terms.
Yeah.
And if you can't, then I'm sorry, but we can't support you. Exactly. Like, that to me is so baffling.
It's sad because, like, we right now, especially for curve and plus size and our body positive movement, you know, we need to unite. We need to fucking unite because when we start to cut people out and, you know, another conversation is how like people have a lot of things to say about like when people who are a size 8 are called a curve model. Mm. I'm like, how do you think those girls feel? Because they're in between. Like, where do they fit in?
Right.
You
know? Exactly.
It's like they can't be here with the zeros, but they can't be over here. Right. So.
But then it's like, even within it, we're just so divided. And when it comes to conversations about our body, like now is the time to unite and show that like you are all included. Mm-hmm. And that was hard. Like, I remember this is funny. So one of my really good friends, Monique, she's a model in New York who I've known since I started modeling and I fucking love her. She posted on Facebook, 'cause you know, when someone like responds and you're tagged, you can see it. But sometimes if you're not friends with the person, you can't see the original comment.
Right.
Oh, technology. thanks, Facebook. Yeah. So Monique tagged me in something. And then I saw all these like other curvy women and just people commenting on it. And I was like, oh, I wonder what this is. And it was this whole thing about Monique standing up for me. And I had no idea what it was like in response to, like at all. I was just like, thanks, Monique. That's nice. Like, maybe she just woke up and felt passionate about me today. It was like, it was a novel. I was like, you go, girl. Like, you got into that rant and you just like put it down.
Right.
And then I found out what it was in response to. And it was a woman basically, you know, shitting on my journey. A big part of the show is like people really gave Ashley Graham a lot of crap for coming on the show. But I think anybody who watched my episode, like I made it very clear to Chloe and to the producers and to everybody involved in that, Ashley included, that I did not want to go below a size 14 because that's where I was before my accident. I wasn't going on this weight loss show to go below what I was. I just wanted to get back to the curves, as Chloe said, that I was comfortable in.
Right.
And I love being I'm a 14, 16 now, and I love it. I feel sexy. I feel beautiful. I feel strong. I feel powerful. And, you know, anybody who wants to shit on the show for the name, go for it. Like, go for it. Mm-hmm. But I ask everyone to just watch my episode because I think that the message of positivity is there. And I think drawing conclusions before kind of seeing it play out is a little premature. But with that, you know, it was also like when I went in, I remember off camera, I was talking to Chloe and I was like, I don't want to go below 14. Like that is like really important to me because I don't want to get shit on by the plus size community. Happened anyways. Right. But, you know, it was interesting because she's like, I don't understand why they would do that. And I was like, oh girl, woo, woo.
Right.
You know, there's so much division within the community of loving your body. And we have to take steps. Like if somebody wants to get the lap band or if they want to have weight loss surgery, they want to have a tummy tuck, fucking go for it.
Right. Yeah.
Like who are you to, you know, police someone's body?
Absolutely.
If you're going to like go on the train of like, it's my body, my choice. Like when it comes to like birth control, then you don't have the right to tell someone that they can't, you know, go have weight loss surgery or lose weight,
right.
You know, period.
Right.
Like you can't waver, especially in this political climate.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Totally. So.
Yeah.
Okay. And overall, how was your experience in the show? Like with Chloe, you said you had some moments with her. How was she?
I fucking love her. Okay. Like... I had a blast. I think a part of my experience being so positive is I come from production. You know, a lot of people don't know I run my own craft services company, NIA Food Style.
KR Crafty.
KR Crafty.
Yeah.
So I know, and I also started in reality when I got like my first job in production. And so I kind of already knew the tip, like the little tricks that they would put on me. I also, it's not like I was standing there being like, don't say this, blah, blah, blah. But I went into it very authentically me. And I was like, if I come off like a crazy person, so be it, you know? I really liked the way I was portrayed. I feel like anybody who knows me personally, like that is me. No, like acting, no nothing, you know, I am a nut and I embrace it. And, I'm really glad that they cut out a lot of me crying because like I fucking shed tears, man. Like, oh my God. Like, I think they left in like two tear moments, but like, oh my God. Cause I was just so grateful. I really felt like my life was over after my accident. Like I couldn't really process the trauma of it. And a big part of that wasn't just the physical, it was the mental. Like I couldn't understand why this had happened to me. Like why me, you know? And going through that show, I felt a purpose. And it sounds silly, but I felt like people cared. I felt, you know, like people had my back because, you know, a really tough part of my accident is these girls that I was friends with, that I called my best friends, all like I got run over by a truck and they just disappeared. Like they were just not there for me. And I felt very isolated. I was literally sitting on a couch for almost 4 months. You can only go into the depths of Netflix so many fucking times, okay. You know, yeah. And like, bless my boyfriend, Russell, who stepped up and like literally like would roll me to the bathroom and then cook me dinner. And like, but it was very isolating and very lonely. And, you know, I didn't feel like people had my back. And even when I started walking again, like it was just like a really weird, like I kind of just gone missing in action for like basically 4 to 5 months. And then when I started walking, I was like much heavier. So I felt like I wasn't in my body. I felt like my body was taken from me. And so when I went on the show, I felt like I had the support of like the story producer, Jen, that I worked with, who I'm still really good friends with. Love her. She came over to our house when we were like in the casting process and like sat down and like was supposed to be there for like an hour and was there for like three, like just chatting with Russell and I about life. And I was very clear with what story I wanted to tell, and the message that I wanted to put out. And so I had a great time on the show. Good. The thing that I like about the show is like a lot of other weight loss shows, you're sequestered, like you're in a house and they are cooking for you.
Like The Biggest Loser.
Totally. Like which is totally the company I like started in reality. So it's crazy. They did The Biggest Loser. So it was like this really weird, like, anyways. Yeah. But I was cooking all my own meals. I was also doing craft services at the same time. So for anybody who's been on set, especially with Garrett Crafty, like it was talk about discipline. Like it was hard, but like now I'm like, if I could do that, I can do it anytime, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Cause I literally was like putting snacks out for people. Meanwhile, like I was like, I'll have a hard boiled egg.
Right. Where's my celery?
I like vegetables. So it was hard as fuck. But yeah. I really wanted to, when I like got the call that they're like, you're on the show, I was like, I'm going to go full throttle because I don't want to embarrass the fuck out of myself on national TV because I watched season one and I don't want to be the chick who was like kicked off because they weren't doing shit.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
Yikes. And so I really like I went for it. I was training almost every other day. I loved Gunner. Gunner and I had a great relationship and like to this day I can text him if I have issues, like, you know, anything. He's there for me. I'm seeing Dr. G in 2 weeks. I see him all the time. And another thing that was tough, and I think a couple other people from the show have had this experience, is like I gained a little bit of weight after the show because I went from training like 5 fucking days a week and like to having a life again and no cameras. So I was like a 12, 14 when my episode aired. I'm about a 14, 16 now, but I still am on my meal plan. I work out as much as I can. You know, right now I'm working on a Hulu show. So I literally am on set 16 hours a day. So like, I don't want to go to Pilates afterwards or before. Like, I want to fucking sleep.
Right.
So when I do have time, I try to like keep active, but you have to find a good balance. And like in New York, I was all about that pizza.
Yeah.
No lies. Mm-hmm. No shame. No shame.
New York
no shame.
Pizza.
Get you every time. Get you every time.
So right. Good. They have it at every corner. You can get a dollar slice.
I would be okay with that.
$1.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So And now they're casting for season 3, and a lot of people have reached out to me about my experience, and I've been very open. You know, if you're going to go on reality TV, like, just know, like, at the end of the day, it is fucking reality TV. Yeah. You know, they have a job to do. And so I think coming from that background made it easier for me to
understand.
But I also, like, didn't have any drama in my story, which, like, the producers were kind of pissed about. Like, the only thing that, like, was dramatic, and I remember us filming it because I was like, what the fuck, is I gained 2 pounds 1 week. And then Dr. G was like, it's because you're on your period. I was like, could we, like, not air my uterus out to the fucking nation? Like, you know, and there's this whole story about how women can only lose weight. I was like, how about, like, we not do that and tell, like, the whole world I'm hormonal this week. But I ended up getting paired with someone who had a lot of drama in their story. So I think it was a good balance.
Good balance.
I was talking to, it might have been you at the Plus Bus the day we fucking met.
Yeah, we were chatting about a lot of this stuff.
I think, like, there's kind of this weird, so in the plus size community, there's obviously the modeling aspect where it is a business.
Right.
You know, and in a big part of when I went back into curve modeling, it's like my clients were booking me at a 14, right? Like, that's just when I was fit modeling, like, my measurements, like, you gotta be, anybody who's listening who's a fit model knows, like, those measurements are very important. Mm-hmm. It sounds silly, but a half inch could, like, you could lose a job, right?
Right.
So I lost all my fit clients when I, you know, had gained the weight, because obviously I was fitting in a completely different size.
Right.
And so, you know, there's the commercial side of Plus, which is, like, these girls who, you know, as a business need to be a certain size. And then I think there's, like, the social part of it, where there's women who, you know, are a size 24 and fucking big, bad, and beautiful. And, like, you know, I think that there's kind of a divide between those two aspects, right? Because we see in a lot of these ads a size 14 with a flat stomach, you know, this kind of like
a cookie cutter silhouette. Yeah. Like, it's a specific kind of silhouette. Yes.
And that's tough, because a lot of women don't have that.
Like, right.
I got a love pooch, and I fucking love it.
Yep.
When it's cold outside, I can just go like this.
You guys can see me. In between the stomach and the legs. I do that all the time.
And my hands are warm.
Exactly. I've got built-in gloves. Okay.
It's a heater.
Wait, what do you call it?
My love pooch.
Okay, because it's also called a fupa, right?
A fupa, yeah. Okay. Yeah. My fupa.
I love my love fupa. Listen, like, I always look at my mom and, like, my dad, and I literally am the perfect, like replica of both their bodies.
Okay.
My mom, I don't know why I didn't get her butt. My mom has got the biggest butt in the world, and it's so awesome. Like, it's
yes.
Like, she's 5'1" and you could stick a fucking cup on her butt. I got my dad's butt, which is flat and wide, rocking it. And even after working out with Gunner for weeks, still didn't have a very big butt, but it's kind of there now.
Right.
But, you know, I always look, and I think people who, like, struggle with, like, where their body is, it's like, look at your parents. You are literally their DNA.
Yep.
So stop trying to change that, you know? Like, my mom, my dad and my mom both have a little, like, tum-tums.
Yeah.
Sorry, mom and dad. But, you know, I was so sick when I was booking a lot of, like, feeling so inadequate because I didn't have this, like, crazy flat stomach and, like, tiny little, like, I have a small weight, like, I'm very hourglass, like, I got baby birthing hips over here, and I love them. Russell loves them too. No.
Yes.
But, like, it is this cookie cutter of, like, what we see on these ads, and, like, they'll be like, yeah, this girl's a size 12 or this girl's a size 16, but she's, like, 5'6", 2", so
correct,
of course she's gonna wear a bigger size, you know. That's like math. But I think it's hard. And now I think we're taking steps. Like, a lot of brands are doing campaigns with, like, you know, bloggers who are bigger, or, like, Real Woman. And, you know, there's a little bit more of a welcome aspect into these ad campaigns. So, like, kudos to those marketing teams.
Like Avenue.
Avenue just did it with Maddie,
yeah,
who I just walked with at Bella Renee. And I was like, you go, girl. though.
Okay. Love her.
I fucking love her. Yeah. I've known her since I started modeling. I love her energy. I love honestly everything about her. And, yeah. and it was fun hanging out with her backstage because she literally has seen the journey of Kelsey Rose. But, you know, I think we can still take more steps to include, like ASOS doesn't retouch their models. And I love that because you see girls who have a little bit of pooch or like a little back fat, like we got to celebrate that. Like curves are not just this like cookie cutter size 14 tiny, you know what I mean?
Tiny waist, big butt, big bust.
Yeah. Yeah. Like there's more. I think that's what's so beautiful about plus size is that we as women carry our weight in such different ways. So we create so much more diversity in our bodies. And, you know, it's something that I think we can definitely take more steps to do. And we're starting to see it. But coming back into curve modeling, I kind of – so I have a mother agent. I'm with League up in Vancouver. And I haven't signed in LA or New York because I want to find a place that's going to really accept me for who I am and like really, you know, believe in me. And so I'm still waiting, but I'm actually doing a crazy hair makeover next week, guys.
Oh,
like crazy.
Are they cutting
like,
your hair?
Are you cutting it? Are you coloring it?
I'm cutting and coloring.
Ooh. Oh,
I have wanted to, and like my colorist from 6 years ago will attest to this. I've always wanted to go like super silver.
Oh,
like silver.
Oh, okay. I can see that.
Yeah. So I'm literally going to cut it like a lob because also I have so much fucking hair. I'm so fucking over it. In New York, like the back of my neck, I wore like this handkerchief because it was so fucking sweaty. I was like, this is function, not style.
Right.
But I want to cut it like a little shorter and I'm going to go silver.
Do you have to consult with your agency before you do any of that?
So League has been amazing. Yeah. They have been super supportive. I think a part of being at Fashion Week this year is like, I noticed that like, this sounds so lame, but I'm kind of like beige. Like I'm not like at the Chromat casting. Oh. I was like, I am not cool enough to be here. Like,
oh no.
Cause I used to like in college, literally like had pink hair, a lip piercing. Yeah. Like I was like all about like being different.
Alternative. Yes.
And I don't know like what happened, but now I'm just like blonde hair, blue eyed. And I'm just like, fuck.
Oh, poor you. Blonde hair, blue eyed gorgeousness over here.
This is not natural.
You just want to mix it up a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, do a little something different.
And like, I think now, you know, like I'm not held down by like any clients or anything. So I'm like, why the fuck not?
Yeah.
You know? Okay. And listen, it's hair. It grows back.
Yep.
For some people.
I mean.
Your hair will grow back.
My hair grows really fast. Yeah. It sucks whenever I color because my roots grow in like hardcore. But you know what? I'm excited. I have never done a change like that. Like literally the most like crazy I've done is like dye my tips pink when I was living in Europe and I was like yellow. But next time you see me, who knows?
Yes, I can't wait for those photos.
Silver hair, silver fox.
That's awesome. So, that's awesome.
I love it.
Cool.
And then I just have to reshoot my whole fucking book. Yay.
We're just going to be like, you no longer look like this.
Right. Yeah. Who is this girl? Yeah.
Are you even here?
Oopsies.
Okay. So I will confess that I watch a show on E! Called Model Squad.
Yes. In the E! Family.
I mean, I love fashion and I love
totally.
Models and all of that, like behind the scenes kind of stuff. So there's no plus size representation in that show, which is a shame. E! Get it together. So for anybody who is plus size and is considering modeling, what would be your advice or maybe like what is like some things that you need to do, like your model regime, if that exists? just advice out there for people who are
totally
interested.
I think now more than ever is embrace who you are because people are booking you as a brand now, you know, like it's no longer like they're just like, oh, we need a blonde, you know, they like want to believe in you and your message. So, you know, that's why social media unfortunately has become a big part of modeling. But be you, if you are like, listen, when I shot Good American, I was a 20. If they can use that in their campaign, like it, you know, embrace your size. And there's so many Like, if you look at the boards at some of these agencies, they have bigger girls now. And that used to not be the thing. Like, it used to be, ooh, you're 16, too big, or you're an 18, crazy 20. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so they're opening it up because these women are really owning themselves. And when a client sees that, they'll book you.
Yep.
You know? So I'd say really stand in who you are and live in your truth. Whatever you look like, however you want to look like you do you. And you know, it's a tough industry.
Yeah.
It is not easy. It is a business at the end of the day. And so just know that, if you're not selected, if you're not booked for something, it wasn't meant to be. There is something else out there for you. And that's a lesson I really had to remind myself because, you know, when I was at Fashion Week and girls were getting calls for shows, I was like, bummer, you know? And I remember I called Russell and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I was like, so I literally had a meltdown in the middle of the street eating pizza. But, you know, and then it turned and then I booked Bella. You know what I mean? Like there's room for all of us in this industry. And if you're going to get into it, my three things is one is be yourself and accept yourself and do not lose or gain weight because somebody told you to, because I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me. And listen, it didn't work and it's bullshit. Two is support the women around you and be excited when other women have success, because we as an industry are still breaking like into a larger shit show. So if you are going to be a Debbie Downer because you didn't get a job, then I think you bring this negativity into the space where we really need to be raising each other up. And three is like, don't let any bullshit like tear you down, because it's so easy to feel inadequate. It's so easy to feel less than and compare yourself and blah, blah, blah. But like, you cannot let that negativity get to you, because the more that's fuel to your fucking fire.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I treated a lot of the negativity that I got from the show. You know, I was mm-hmm. like, okay, put that gasoline on, let's go.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
But yeah, to stay positive too. I'm just a really fucking positive person. It's really weird.
You are.
I think it's so key. Amazing. It's so key. It really is. Yeah. There is so much negativity in the world. And like the last thing we need is another Debbie Downer.
Totally.
I totally agree with the raising up the people around you and embracing each other's success. And
And like, it's okay to have negative feelings and to be vulnerable. You know, it's like, your feelings are valid.
Right.
It's a big thing that I think my therapist in high school taught me. Your feelings are very valid. But it's also the way that you take those feelings, internalize them, and then take energy and expel the energy out. And so, you know, when I was in New York and I heard girls booking, I was so excited because, listen, if one plus girl is in a show, that means that the next season there could be two,
right?
There could be three, there could be four. So every success, every girl booked is a step mm-hmm. in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't always me, but that's okay, because you know, there's many fucking fashion weeks and you know, there is success for us all. And you have to realize that. And it's even out of modeling, you know, just as women in general, like, you know, I love supporting like female designers, like Proud Mary, shout out Jessica.
Yeah.
You know, I love when women are I saw her at CurvyCon and she was like, you know, going to other booths and supporting and being excited. And you have to do that. Or like, we're not going to go fucking anywhere, guys.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So. Yeah. No, and I think it's about like celebrating, regardless of whether the image that you're seeing is your body or not. Like when I believe her name is Paloma, she was on the cover of Vogue. Like, celebrate that.
Absolutely. You know, because
that's opening the door a little bit more for whoever to come through next.
Yep.
And then we have Tess on Cosmo, which was incredible.
Yep.
So just celebrating all of those successes, because it's benefiting all of us, really.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because like 5 years ago, guys, that was like not the case.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we're taking steps. We still got more to go, but we're getting there, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think so. So I know that you studied film.
Yes.
And now you have KR Crafty.
Yes.
What else talk about KR Crafty and talk about like if you have any film projects that you're coming up or thinking of or.
So, It's kind of like this. I don't know if people know that I do craft services, but I started KR Crafty a couple years ago. I think I'm coming up on 3 years, which is so crazy. So I run a girl power craft services company. I've got the most amazing team of women. I absolutely am so lucky to have met just such wonderful, well-rounded women. Like, they are so much more than just craft services. Like, it blows my mind. And so I'm in the union. I just joined the union. Yay! Nice. Anybody who knows how difficult that is, you will understand how excited I am.
Yeah.
So I am working on a Hulu show. I am on that until early of next year. I actually wrapped at 5:30 a.m. this morning. Mm. Thank God for Starbucks. But I love it. It's something that I kind of fell into. I love hosting. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people who know me know I have many parties at my house. When I do have a social life, it's like I throw a grand old party. And then I get kind of white girl wasted and then I pass out and then you won't hear from me for like 3 months because I'm on a project and then otra vez.
And repeat.
And repeat. Yep. Step and repeat.
So, and I learned that from my mom. My mom was very much like a hostess. And I think a part of that was growing up in Tokyo, you know, my dad always had a lot of Japanese businessmen in our house and she would be like, welcome to our home. And me and my sister wore matching dresses. Still have PTSD from that, but that's okay.
Still working on it.
I will not do that to my children. But love you, Sharon Weber. So I just, that just like is so natural for me. And so it kind of made sense that I went into craft services. And then from craft services, I got into food styling. So I have food styled for a lot of awesome companies, a lot of fast food companies. So you probably see my work. No, I'm just kidding.
You're the one that makes me want to eat that burger.
Okay, thank you. Make that shit look good.
But I love it. And so this kind of new career has formed for me. And you know, after my accident, like modeling was kind of my go-to. I was working at BuzzFeed for a while, which people knew. I was in a lot of their videos and stuff. But there was a new path for me and I just followed it and it organically grew. Like at first it was just me. Like it was just little old Kelsey Rose and I like made a business card and was like all about it. Yeah. And then it just grew into what it is now. And I feel very grateful. It is very stressful. Coordinating 7 different girls' schedules, but it's a lesson in leadership. It's a lesson in, I will always have my girls back. Like, and they know that, like, I will go toe to toe with producers if they treat my team like shit, because I'm just like, I'm so over it. I'm so over it. And in production, a lot of people want to take and not give out. So I'm like, if you don't want to give us the budget, like, we can't make it happen. Food costs money.
Correct.
And time is money too. Like, you can't pay my girl shit. So, yeah, I'm very excited. I'm trying to think what we have coming up. My main focus is the show that I'm on right now. We've shot 4 episodes. It actually premieres in October.
Awesome.
I don't think I can say the name on the air.
I don't think
you can. So just look out on Hulu for a horror anthology airing in October.
There you go. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Not fucking my NDA up. but my girls just kind of, we're constantly working. They're still over at BuzzFeed. We do a lot of stuff with digital media companies and I'm very proud of them and who knows what's going to happen in the future, but there's just like a lot of excitement happening.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's a good long-term kind of job, you know, like I got the security of that and I'm very appreciative of that. And it allows me to go to New York and chase my dream and, you know, have that. And also we always have a shit ton of snacks at our house.
Hey, that's a plus.
Russell loves. Yeah.
I think the follow-up question will be, when do you sleep?
Oh my God.
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah. From 3 to 4. No, great question. Actually, you know what's so funny is like I can sleep anywhere.
Okay.
Like I'm one of those people.
Okay.
Like, so no joke, at like 3 a.m. last night, I totally like took a power nap in my car, like 45 minutes, good to go. Like, and then I got home and was like, I'm really awake. I'll Candy Crush it. I have to sleep. I'm not one of those people who can pull an all-nighter. Mm-hmm. But it's hard in production because we've been on splits. So we've been doing night shoots and I already know next week's going to be a nightmare. My other half is an insomniac. So he like is always up. Okay. So we're kind of like a weird yin and yang. Like I literally could lay down on this floor and pass out and be in a REM cycle and be fine.
And be good to go.
But yeah, that's why, like, when I am not shooting, we've been shooting Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
When I'm not on the show, I'm like, I need to chill. I need to have me time. And that's a reason I cannot live in New York, because there is no fucking privacy in that city.
I know.
Dear Lord.
None. It's always on. It's always on.
Like, even if I'm just in my car in traffic, it's me time. Just time for Here. Kelsey Bruce. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To, like, not text and drive. But, you know, just, like, have some privacy to myself. And that was, I think, a really... So listen, I'm a triple cancer. I love my home. I love being at home. I'm really into astrology, clearly. But it's hard for me to, like, break out of my shell. And so when I was in New York, it was a good push for me, because it was literally like I'd leave. I was staying in Brooklyn. I'd go into the city and I wouldn't return home until like midnight.
Wow.
Because New York days are long, man. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Drink a lot of espresso while I was in New York to keep myself awake. Pizza, espresso, New York. but yeah, it was just, I like sleep. And so whenever I can budget that in, I will.
Okay.
Like this weekend, me and we're going out to Joshua Tree.
Oh, nice.
Just to chill.
Nice.
Have some time. And then I'll be back at the shit show on Monday. But then we're on a hiatus, so I'll have 3 weeks off. So I'm really excited. And then it's like during those times where I can like I'll be shooting my new book with my new hair and like, you know, really going into my own personal project. So, but I think it's a good balance, because after being at CurvyCon and seeing a lot of women who are very attached to their phones.
Yes.
I always say I'm a really bad influencer. I even hate that word, to be honest.
Influencer.
Like, people followed me after a reality show. I would not say I'm influencing that many people, but, you know, I don't have time to post every day and create content all the time. And I think that gives me kind of a more sense of myself. And that's not hating on girls who do it, because like I have much respect, because that takes a lot more time than I think people really realize. But like I'm in workout wear on set. Like there's no outfit of the day moment happening, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Especially like 3 a.m. I totally thought about it last night though. And like a bathroom selfie in a shithole, like
yoga pants.
Yeah. What's up? Outfit of the day. But yeah, I live hair and ponytail in yoga pants, sports bra. That is my life on set. So it's funny when people on set find my Instagram, they're like, what? And I'm like, I know, it's crazy. So different, but I kind of like having them a little bit separate.
Yeah.
Right, right.
So, but yeah, if anyone's on set with KR Crafty, we'll feed the shit out of you.
I guess I really would love to know what your experience at CurvyCon was. Because I am so angry that we don't have one here.
I know.
Yeah.
For those of us who can't travel to New York.
It was, so I've never gone before. Obviously, I knew it and knew about it, but like I'd never gone. Mm-hmm. And so when I was in New York, everyone's like, are you going to CurvyCon? And I was just like, what? What's that? Mm-hmm. Like it's happening? Oh, okay. And so I actually got hit up by this app called 21 Squared. Everyone should check it out. It is basically Poshmark, but for only curves. You can shop by your body type, and it's just an easier shopping platform for women. You can share your outfits and blah, blah, blah. But they were like, can you go and check it out for us and take some photos? I was like, yeah, absolutely. So I went, and it was kind of my first, it's crazy. It's like a lot of love in one room, and it's really nice to be in an area where curve women are just expressing themselves in fashion and, you know, not giving a fuck. And it's all, you know, it was amazing. One of my really good friends that, you know, is very big on Instagram, but her and I met while we were both little bibbies at BuzzFeed is Jasmine, at Jasmine J. And like her style is very, it's like she wears whatever the fuck she wants. She looks and she owns it. You know what I mean? And so it was really cool to be around a lot of women, because sometimes I get scared. I'm like, oh, you can see my pooch. Like, oh, this doesn't look that good. Yeah. What am I going to do? And oh, I just knocked my smoothie over. Sorry. I'm on my meal plan. It was really cool to be around that, because I think when you are not around that all the time, you start to get into your head and be like, I don't know if I can wear this. I don't know if this looks good, even though it looked really good online. So, you know, it was a good, it was positive and negative. I will say that it was great being around a lot of girls that I like Instagram stalk. Because there's that awkward moment where you're like, hi, I'm Kelsey Rose. I know fucking everything about you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I know what you wore yesterday. But it was cool, like, meeting a lot of the girls who have the same, they're exactly what I thought they'd be like from their Instagrams. I think that's really cool when you're very genuine. And I met some awesome girls from Alabama. Like, it was just fun. It was fun. I did have a couple girls come up to me and talk shit to me about the show. And I was like, oh, that aired in February. It's so old. Like, come on.
Move on.
But it was interesting because it's the first time I've really had face-to-face trolls, I guess you could say.
Right.
And I was kind of taken aback at first. But you know, what I take from that is that the show really does affect women both positively and negatively. And that's something to take into consideration when they go into season three. And also in the way that I promote it in my own life and what my message is, you know, I want those women to feel like their feelings are valid, that they don't like the name and understand, like, I totally get why they don't like the name. But I stand by my journey. I stand by what I was like on the show and what the message was. So I try to, you know, turn it into a positive and just ask them to watch the fucking episode before they make the judgment. But you know, it was a good first time at KurviCon. It got fancy AF apparently because I mean, they had boxed lunches, they had a million vendors. Like I totally went into the hanky panky booth and got a pair of underwear, and they were like, "We can rhinestone some initials on it," and I was like, Russell James Thomas. And she's like, who's that? I was like, my lover. So it's like so raunchy, but like, they're super cute and they fit really well. But then I turned around and like my boyfriend's initials are on my butt cheek. It's pretty funny. But, and then I got to see a lot of brands that, like, you know, I know people from, and a lot of the models were there. And, I went in with a lot of people go to KurviCon with somebody. Mm-hmm. I was like riding solo and was kind of scared shitless at first. Mm-hmm. Probably looked like a deer in the headlights. I was like, wow, there's so many shiny things. But then I like found, you know, it was a reminder that I know a lot more people than I had thought, because I'm very connected here in LA because I'm from here. And so in New York, there's like a whole different scene, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I have friends, thank God. So nice. I had a blast. It was a good experience. I'm glad I went. It was a good kind of break from Fashion Week a little bit, because Fashion Week was like casting, casting, casting. And then KurviCon was like, here's really cute clothes. Spend all your money here. And I was just like, no. Bad Kelsey, bad Kelsey. But it was cool. Like, connect with brands. And they had a lot of cool moments and talks. And I'm very grateful that I went. I'm very thankful for the really badass bitches that I fucking met.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like really cool street style. Mm. So now I'm like feeling inspired.
Yeah. I've seen photos from the show, the runway show they did.
Hell yeah.
And it's so interesting because to see in comparison to like your average sort of Fashion Week show.
Totally.
The audiences are completely different.
So different and right. So much more filled with life.
Yes.
You know?
I feel like people cheer.
Yes.
Such a big difference. And I'm not used to that, so I don't know how
to totally
react to it yet. But I think it's absolutely amazing.
I fucking love it.
Yeah.
There's nothing better. So when we did Bella Renee, like all my really close girlfriends, especially like the LA models, came to the show to support. And they were like, yo, it's Kelsey Rose, like, you know, and it sounds so silly, but like, it's such a comforting and awesome encouragement, especially from like girls who've known me and know my journey, for them to be like, oh my God, there she fucking is, you know, and like support it. And as I wanted to go support everybody else at the shows, but like some of them had really expensive tickets. Mm-hmm. But you know, that is the encouragement that we need, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. one of my really good friends, Alexa, who's like a big blogger, has always brought such good energy wherever we are. Like her and I, like I fucking love her. And when I saw her at KurviCon, she's like, okay, we're going to go over here. And now we're going to go over here. And then we're going to do this. And we're going to do that. And I was just like, I needed your energy so badly. Cause like Fashion Week gets a little aggressive, I think is a good word. Like, it's like, gotta be here, gotta be there. I'm not gonna share this casting. You know what I mean? People get a little sketchy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm so not like that. So I needed some like positivity. And so I'm like really glad that I had KurviCon, and I will definitely go back next year. But I really hope they bring it to LA.
Yeah, I think that should be great. Another thing that I think is interesting, and I'm interested to hear your take on, is so we've seen a lot of companies come out who are specifically plus size clothing followed by a lot of companies who are already established who have created plus size lines. Everything is sort of like high street or what you call ready to wear. Why do you think that high end has not embraced the plus size community?
It's so interesting to me because Bella Renee's stuff is high end. Yeah. Like her fabrics, mm-hmm. when she was trying outfits on me, I was like, I'll just wear all of these. I'll just do a change in Times Square. It's fine. Like, right. it's not a big deal. What's crazy to me is that retailers, like the majority of women in this country are a 14 plus, right? Mm-hmm. And the majority of those women want to buy your clothes.
Right.
And we don't just want a Forever 21 cheap t-shirt. Like mm-hmm. a lot of us want a nice, beautiful, like jacket or, you know what I mean? Something that has like nice fabric, nice fit. I think there's some companies that are trying to break into that. And then it's also, I think it's a part of a business strategy too. Like when you break into this market, you need to understand to not waver in your price point if you're not getting immediate customers. Because a lot of the time I think these brands will put out nicer stuff and then the consumers won't buy it. So it's also part of the consumer is that like, if we want nice things, we need to buy nice things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, I kind of am a mix. I work with Rue 21, which is like a mm-hmm. lower price point, and I fucking love their stuff. Listen, I'm going to the Cape in 2 weeks and like, yeah. I'm pretty much just wearing Rue. Yeah. Hashtag not an ad, but you know, I really like their stuff. But you know, after like going through CurvyCon, like Loft is like kind of I wouldn't say it's a lower price point. It's kind of like a mid, like a jacket's like 75 to 100.
Right.
And you know, I'm a business owner. I work my ass off to make good money. I would like to buy a nice jacket. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Right.
And not feel like, because at first there was no places for us to go, like, yep. you know, and now like there's so many more options. But I think, you know, it's, Maddie actually talked about this. She's like, it's a part of our job. If they're going to make the clothes, we need to buy them
mm-hmm. yeah.
because if not, that business is not going to survive and yeah. then those clothes will not exist.
Right.
So,
yeah.
you know, there's certain pieces that I will put money into. Like, listen, when that Bella Renee line comes out, I'm going to be like, girl, how much
take
is this
money.
Fucking suit?
Okay.
Like,
take my money.
Yeah, literally. like I'm in love with it because, you know, I go through clothes so much. Like especially leggings. But I recently found an amazing legging brand. They're called Lola Getz. I like also may or may not have modeled for them. But but the thing is like they reached out to me after Revenge Body. Stacey, the owner, is amazing. Fucking love her. She, their leggings are a higher price point because they're premium. You're not going to get like the holes.
They'll last. Yeah.
And I have been wearing those leggings for this. Like I wash them, but like I have a bunch of their pairs. They're like the pants I literally wear. They're the only leggings I wear anymore because they're so comfortable. They have amazing like prints and colors, like their new collections dropping for Foot Locker. Like they have a lot of stuff coming out, but they have really nice fabric. Like that's like the key. And so yes, you're paying more, but you're not going to have to buy seven of them.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also when you bend over, you can't see your cooch. So I'm like really into that.
Oh, I like okay. that. I like okay. that. What is the name of the company again?
Lola Getz.
Lola Getz. That's
a cute name.
That is a really cute name.
Yeah. I love the team. So I love supporting that company, you know, yeah. and, ever since I started working with them, like I seriously love their, like I don't want to work. This is my big thing about Instagram. I will not work with a company unless I believe in the company,
mm-hmm.
you know, cause I've had offers from people and that's not me being like, oh, I have offers, but you know, it's like people have reached out to me and I'm just like, listen, love you. Not my brand, not right. my brand. And I want to be authentic. I don't just want to take whoever wants to pay me to post some shit
mm-hmm.
because I think it becomes inauthentic. And I want people to know, like, if I post something, I believe in it.
Right.
So like Lola Getz are my fucking legging jam. Like I love them. Rue 21 I like working with because they have like prints and cute things. And I really like their team. And, you know, it's a nice company. It's a fun company to work with. You know, I love Good American. Those jeans are amazing. You know, I really highly suggest everyone go try a pair on because during my show, Chloe gave me a pair of jeans going down from a 20 to a 14. So mm-hmm. as I lost the weight, I had jeans to wear.
Nice.
Which was amazing. And they're stretchy and they have like reinforced belt loops. So like when we do the dance to get them on, they don't break off.
Oh my God.
Ooh.
That's amazing.
They're the best. So I want to believe in a brand, and after like working with Good American and them giving me that amazing opportunity that I'm just like still so like in awe and shock with, but I will wear your fucking jeans until I die. Sounds good. Sounds great. So yeah.
Sign me up.
Yeah. They're fucking great. So yeah, I think that's also important for anybody who's trying to like get into that sphere of being an influencer is like be authentically you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there's so many fake bitches out there. We don't need no mouth.
Yeah.
No, we don't. So.
Yeah. The quota has been filled.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're good. We good.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. Great. I want to say thank you.
Yes.
For thank
coming
you guys.
To sit
thank
here you. With us.
Taking time out of your super busy schedule.
Yes.
To come and chat with us. And we want to let you know that the door is always open anytime that you want to come through.
We love you.
If you want to come and show us your new hair.
Yes.
And have a fantastic vacation.
Thank you.
In the next 3 weeks, you're going on vacation. So, yeah.
I really appreciate you guys having me and being able to kind of share my story. And I'm a nut, but and I'm a rambler.
No,
we love nuts.
Absolutely.
We're
nuts,
fans.
Well, we are nuts.
We are nuts.
I love you guys.
Where can people find you on social media?
So my handle is at The Real Kelsey Rose on Instagram. I have a Twitter. Don't check it. There's nothing on it.
Okay.
It's usually me complaining to companies about late shipping because they don't have a customer service line. Okay. straight up.
That's amazing.
Because somebody asked me, they're like, what's with your Twitter? And I was like, it's like, at Boohoo, where is my order? Like, at ASOS, where is my shit? Like, so don't. You can check it if you want. You can see what I'm complaining about.
Exactly.
But yeah, usually I'm on Instagram more. My Facebook's more my private. I kind of also I don't really use Facebook anymore.
Yeah, I don't either. Like who? Yeah,
it's kind of
like, kind of done.
Died. Sorry, Facebook.
I'm sorry.
So yeah, at The Real Kelsey Rose. If you ever want to DM me, I will always answer.
Great.
I try to be very involved with the people and I like to connect with whoever. I got a message in Russian the other day and I was like, Google Translate. I was like, girl, I don't even know what fucking letters these are, but it was a really sweet message. So then I responded, hopefully Google Translate didn't fuck up my response
because right?
I responded
in
Russian. I do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really appreciate you guys having me. This has been wonderful.
Thank you.
You know, sending lots of love to all your listeners. So.
Yeah. Everybody, Kelsey Rose.
Kelsey Rose. Yes. All right, guys, that's it for this week. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Make sure to rate us and leave a comment. We hope you guys come back next week. But in the meantime, you can go to our website at cheatdaypodcast.com and you can find us on Twitter and the Insta at Cheat Day Podcast.